You're tuned to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. In the session that just wrapped up, state lawmakers cut funding to K-12 schools. They gave colleges and universities greater flexibility to raise tuition, and they redefined the job security of Colorado's public school teachers. Here to talk about the big education proposals that passed, some that failed, and certainly ones that shook things up, is Todd Engdahl. He's the capital editor for the online news site Education News Colorado. Todd, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. It's great to be here again.
Let's start with state funding cuts to K-12 public schools. How much does this hurt public schools in the end?
I think that's something that's going to take 2 or 3 years to play out. School districts all over the state are laying off teachers, holding vacancies open, doing things like outsourcing their food service or their school buses. The richer districts have dipped into reserves they've been building up. They're freezing salaries. I think in many districts it is going to mean larger classes, fewer special services in terms of classroom aides and things like that. So the damage will, I think, not become apparent for a couple, 3 years, particularly if the state has to make the same sorts of cuts in the 2011-2012 school year, and many people think the state will have to do that.
We should say that at the same time, it's not as if the cost of doing business or the cost of educating children is going down.
No. School districts have a lot of fixed costs because they own large inventories of real estate. So building maintenance, fuel, particularly for school buses, and employee benefits are things that keep creeping up. School districts are going to have to increase their contribution for employee pensions by almost 1% this year, and that's on a scale that's going to keep increasing every year into the future. School districts have to go, for the most part, onto the open market for health insurance, just like any other business or organization. So they're feeling that severe problem as well.
And Todd, when does the actual cut occur for districts? In other words, when do they see less money in their accounts from the state? Has that already happened?
It has already happened because way back in January, the legislature took a mid-year cut of about $130 million in the amount school districts were receiving this year. School district budget years, like the state's budget year, start on July 1st. So the cuts will be reflected in the payments that school districts receive from the state treasury beginning in July.
Well, I want to move to higher education. Lawmakers decided to give colleges and universities more flexibility to raise tuition. Is this really going to help higher ed make up for instance, the federal stimulus money that's about to phase out and what really has been not great funding for years?
What's called the flexibility legislation, Senate Bill 3, does two things for colleges and universities. Neither of them is solving the long-term funding problem.
Okay.
First thing it does is give colleges and university systems predictability for the next few years. The past practice has been for the legislature to set a tuition ceiling every spring for the following school year.
Each year, which makes it hard to plan, I gather, for an institution that's struggling for money.
Exactly. So for next school year, the tuition ceiling is 9%, and then Senate Bill 3 kicks in for the following school year, and for 5 years allows each institution to raise its tuition for resident undergraduate students up to 9% a year without legislative or governor's office approval. So that gives the colleges some predictability. The second key thing that the bill does is create a way for individual colleges to ask for exceptions to that rule and get even higher increases approved. To do that, they'll have to prepare detailed plans and get permission from the Colorado Commission on Higher Education.
And as I understand it, Todd, until this legislation, an individual campus could not make that kind of request. That flexibility didn't exist in the system.
For the most part, that's true.
Okay. And we should say this applies to undergraduate residents. Colleges and universities have been able to set their own fees for out-of-state and graduate students, right?
That's true. For several years, college boards have been able to do, for the most part, what they chose with students who come from out-of-state and with graduate students.
Of course, the governor has a commission that's looking at higher ed funding long-term. I mean, given that you said this is not a long-term fix.
That's true. And one of the interesting things about Senate Bill 3 is it kind of institutionalizes or gives the seal of approval to that planning process. Governor Ritter originally created the Higher Education Strategic Plan by executive order, but Senate Bill 3 puts the strategic planning process into law, and the steering committee that's overseeing this has a deadline of, I believe it's December 15th, to report to the legislature and to the new administration what its long-term suggestions are for the structure and financing of the state higher ed system.
I mean, at that point, the new administration will have been chosen but not seated.
Right.
Yeah. Right. You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and Todd Engdahl's my guest. He writes for Ed News Colorado, Education News Colorado, and we're talking about the last legislative session and what it meant for education, both at the K through 12 and higher ed level. Let's talk the teacher tenure bill. This one caused a lot of ruckus, but it actually will take a few years to fully go into effect. So what this does is tie a teacher's job security to their effectiveness in the classroom. And Todd, this bill exposed some fault lines within the Democratic Party.
Yes, Senate Bill 91 certainly threw a spotlight again on some existing fault lines in the Democratic Party between Democratic legislators who are more attuned to traditional ways of running schools or more attuned to the wishes of the Colorado Education Association, and other Democrats who are more open to trying change or innovation in the public school system.
The CEA, a union, opposed this.
Yes, CEA opposed this quite strongly, although by the time the bill had gone through an extremely extensive amendment process, they were a little more neutral or a little quieter about it.
And so essentially one camp of Democrats joined Republicans to make this possible.
Yeah, the more accurate way to put it, though, is that reform-minded Democrats were driving this effort, and the Republican minorities in both the House and Senate formed something of a passive voting bloc to support what the reform Democrats were pushing.
So I want to ask you about some non-starters, education proposals that died early on in the process or never really made it out of the starting gate. Any that you would cite?
There are a couple of classes, if you will, of non-starters. One of them were bills that, at least in the sponsors' minds, had good intentions, but for which there was absolutely no money this year.
Okay.
There was one bill, for instance, that would have created a grant program to encourage school district kindergarten programs to improve their quality in terms of things like student-teacher ratios. There was no money for that.
And what was the second camp of non-starters?
Well, in any legislative session on almost any issue, there are batches of bills proposed by the minority party that don't go anywhere. So, for instance, this year there were some, what I would say, to be ideologically motivated bills from Republicans that got polite committee hearings and then were killed. For instance, there were a couple of proposals that would have allowed people to take tax deductions for the private school tuition they paid.
Well, looking ahead, I imagine what happens with education in the next session has a lot to do with what party will be in power.
Right. This, of course, is an election year, and we're certain to have a new governor. About three-quarters of the legislative seats are up for re-election. And we know this is kind of a year of voter turmoil around the country, so it's possible we could see a change in party control of the legislature in one or both houses. I think beyond whatever changes the election brings, 2011 session is going to be dominated again probably by budget problems. We'll get our first hint of that at the end of June when the next of the quarterly state revenue forecasts is issued. But many legislators at the end of this session felt that the budget again is going to be the big challenge next year.
Todd, thanks so much.
Happy to do it.
Todd Engdahl is the Capital Editor for the online news site Education News Colorado.